It is Saturday, February 10th. My computer is going crazy. My Skype went down right before the program. A bunch of other programs decided to go down. Anyway, it's February the 10th, 2018. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. I encourage you to visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and WillysBlog.blogspot.com and ScreeningSandyHook.net. During the program, email questions or comments to comment@Spingola.email. Visit our friendly chat room at Spingola.chatango.com. View our guest lineup at Spingola.com. And in addition to the links for each of the guests, you will find other interesting links that are relative to the guest and his or her subject. My guest, the first half of the program today, is Chris from near Las Vegas. So, Chris, you've called into my program over the years. I've heard you call into other programs, and I know that you're never at a loss for words. So, but let me ask you a few questions first. But I'm going to let you do most of the talking. I have been sick. I had a cold, a fever, and all the other crud that's going around. Anyway, you live near Las Vegas. What is your business? I know that you have a great deal of interest in a lot of things, but what specifically do you do?
Well, that's an intriguing and a rather complex question you asked. I've done a multitude, if you will, of different activities in my life. Not the least of which a significant portion of it was dedicated to law enforcement as a public servant amongst several different law enforcement organizations around the nation, including the Lawton, Oklahoma Police Department, 546 Military Police attached to CID, Criminal Investigation Division, Fort Sill, Oklahoma, prior to Lawton. I then went to the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department as a patrol officer for a bit while I was going through their academy. And just prior to leaving their academy, although I had completed their post, police officer standardized testing program, I received an offer because I had a large family at the time, five children in Las Vegas, and was not making enough money to feed my family. And I got an offer from the Nevada State Gaming Control Board's Enforcement Division to go to work for them as an enforcement agent, policing the gaming activities here in Nevada to ensure that the people that would come to visit our state would have at least a fair shot in most cases, although we do know that the odds are fairly substantially stacked against them. There is still the potentiality for somebody to win substantial amounts of money, sometimes by chance and other times with interventions by people who are operating the games or the contest that they purport are going to be open, fair, and totally just a game of chance whatsoever. But this sometimes is and sometimes is not the case. I've also retired from the IBEW 357, and I was politically assassinated because I had uncovered criminality in the local
case. Criminals in the political system there? That's just hardly believable. I'm being facetious, you know.
Well, when you're a law enforcement professional for a substantial part of your life, you take college courses, and each different entity that you work for always offers extensive training, education, indoctrination, programming, and teaching other policy, statutes, codes, procedures, and how they expect you to conduct yourself as a public servant, supposedly. Many people don't understand the complex nature that's confusedly devised when they set up these councils or county commissions or other governing bodies. They give you the illusion that there are three separated branches of government, separation of powers as we know it generally, And they'll line up different organizations. Usually the executive branch has the law enforcement and maybe the courts of the judicial branch. And, of course, then it's an illusion, because where they are combined, unified, is the Board of Commissioners. Sometimes they'll insert a county manager or some other office in between to give them the illusion that they're separated from it. But truly, the County Board of Commissioners issues the checks, they pay the bills, they take in all the revenue or revenue, moving it from the people's pocket into taxation and fines and thefts to the pockets of the County Commission. And then they pay all their employees, their agents, and their lucrative funds, usually very much above what people make in the private sector, so they can allege them or connect them to their authority, and they keep their positions as long as they keep the county commissioners happy, subject to the county commission, is the language that's frequently employed in their employment contracts. And so I've worked in multi-states as a service rep for Castle Cybron Company, servicing sterilizers. I've built tires. I've sold sewing machines and vacuum cleaners for Montgomery Wards. I've worked at amusement parks in my life early on, movie theaters. I've had a real...
You had a paper route too, right?
Absolutely. When I was very young. Everybody,
you don't need to go back that far.
I didn't know you'd been delving into my background so deeply.
I'm just being funny. Or attempting to be funny.
You were hilarious. I was being funny right back at you.
Oh, goodness. I feel like I've lost 10 days of my life. Anyway, so you sent me some information after I had a guest on the program talking about the situation in Colorado and the situation with eminent domain, I should say. And I found it just very, very interesting. You sent a lot of things, and this was for the guest that I had on, Norman, who was a guest on the program, who wrote a wonderful book. And they do have quite a serious situation in Colorado that is ongoing. And, of course, it's really to not only to seize property, but to destroy what remains of the independent cattle producers in this country, so that the big four can take over. And I learned a lot of things. First of all, reading The Meat Racket, which is a very interesting book, one that that a guest had recommended that I read, and I did. Well, Bill Bullard had recommended that book, which I read. And I was just dumbfounded, because I knew that factory farming existed. I knew that it was awful. I knew that it was terrible for the animals, that it was terrible for the people who were running the factory farms. But most of all, I think the treatment of the animals and the chickens and turkeys I found so offensive and so inhumane. But I never realized who started this and who was behind it until I read The Meat Racket and talked with Bill Bullard, and who is mentioned in that book. And it's a very comprehensive read, and I recommend that every consumer should actually read this book. But anyway, you sent me all of these links about eminent domain, which I found to be very interesting. So that's why I asked you to be on the program, and maybe you could go over some of these things that you sent. There are ways that people can prevent property from being taken, but people don't know what they don't know, and they often become victims of government abuse. Imagine that, right?
Imagine that. Well, actually, tyranny is precisely what the government does to the people. and said, when the government fears the people, we have liberty.
Sure.
In fact, the eminent domain derives from the so-called Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which says, relates to self-incrimination, double jeopardy, due process. It says, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. If any city or county wants to regulate, this is a postscript, if any city or county wants to regulate, restrict, or eliminate any private property, it must pay for it out of its general fund. Regulations and restrictions are takings and must be compensated. This is very, very important. And this is, you know, a lot of people, they don't clearly grasp the clear meaning of due process of law and self-incrimination and being deprived of life, liberty, or property. I made the case and suggested to Jeanette Finicum, the widow of Lavoy Finicum, who was egregiously murdered on the side of the road along with several other people in the same truck on the way to Malheur, from Malheur Wildlife Refuge up to Grants Pass, Oregon. And I pointed out to Jeanette that she was being run on the hamster wheel of the administrative procedures process because she was dealing with the Bureau of Land Management agency and other entities, the state of Oregon, the FBI, which is an agency under the Administrative Procedures Act. And they get you on that hamster wheel there, and it's very difficult and particularly expensive for common people to try to fight these agencies because they've got their own private corporate policies, procedures, and rules that you have to adhere to if you're one of their employees or a U.S. citizen, that being a subservient classification in existence under the Constitution, under the so-called 14th or Red Amendment, where they created the small c federal citizen. And the federal citizen is actually a form of subject or slave, subject to the plenary dictatorial or tyrannical powers of Congress in that particular capacity, of which other sovereigns in the world, those who have the ability to self-rule or regulate and control, rule their property, cattle, chattel, residence, individuals, or things. And so it's a very convoluted situation that's difficult for most people because we're not taught these things in our public pool school system. We're indoctrinated, programmed, and of course I know you've had, I think, Charlotte Izard beat on, Dumbing Down of America, and effectually we've all been dumbed down and perhaps indoctrinated and taught falsities.
Absolutely.
Sure, and, you know, they want us stupid slaves or not informed, schooled, educated slaves are much easier to control and demonize or dominate, if you like that better, than those who think for themselves, that are taught how to think, how to apply cognitive thinking and questioning and actual research like you do to verify. And I like the way Laurie Anderson describes it, watch your back and check your facts. I think that's what you do, and many of your contributors on your show do also.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard your guest on this show talking about his plight in Colorado, similar to the plight that I've been drug into through no fault of my own by being victimized by terrorism, by government, and an unlawful takings. And whenever they take any type of property, it could be intellectual property, it could be your land, it could be your private home effects, it could be your children, it could be gold and silver, it could be destroying your family. These are forms of takings or eminent domain. And let me give a salute to the assimilator of this compendium of information that I sent to you. It may or may not be on your website or whatever. It used to be up on the web that anybody could find, and it was Abuse of Eminent Domain by Matthew Bender of Matthew Bender Law. He's the professor emeritus of the law school at UC Santa Barbara, I think is where he's located. I don't know for sure if he's still there, but he was at the time he wrote this. And he had this primer, as they call it, and compendium of a collection of cases of Supreme Court and other mostly Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decisions and a few others. But I basically focused on the Supreme Court decisions, which I think there were 13 of them that I found to be appertaining to the case that I have been regrettably involved in. And, you know, the amount of treachery, brinksmanship is a word term that I learned in my studies of this in defending myself, which is the most abusive, forceful, egregious form of getting someone to comply or die to whatever it is you're trying to direct them to. It was created by, I think, Alan Dulles, the founder of the CIA here in America.
Infamous Alan Dulles.
Yeah, the Dulles brothers, yeah. Really stoic Americans, contributed a lot to our country in the deep state,
sure
dark state. And we're still dealing with the fallout from this criminal organization. In fact, Eustace Mullins, in his book, The Rape of Justice, I think describes the CIA as the communist infiltration of America.
Mm-hmm. Which I think happened much earlier than even most people anticipate. Okay, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest, the first half of the program today, is Chris from near Las Vegas. and we are talking about quite a wonderful document that I will put up on the schedule page so that other people can see it. And he sent this document to me. It actually was created by Matthew Bender. It's a primer on eminent domain. And he sent it to me after my guest, Norman, had talked about the taking of land in Colorado. And then you also mentioned the taking of gold. And, of course, when you said that, I thought about 1933 and the confiscation of gold. And it's always for, it's not always, but they tell us it's for a noble reason, that it's a necessary thing. There's always some justification that people sometimes accept, often accept, actually. But people in Colorado aren't buying it. They've been there for a long time, and they're mad.
A very interesting new word last night from a group that I was meeting with, and I had not heard this word, but it was one that was created by C.S. Lewis. And the word was verbicide. And it could also be wordicide, where they murder you with your words or the twisting of the words into other terms, which is what attorneys do. We've recently had the Bundy case here in Las Vegas, where Gloria Navarro, after abusing her discretion egregiously for quite a long time, had a dramatic, radical shift in her position and had to find a flagrant abuse of prosecutorial discretion and dismissed the case against the Bundys with extreme prejudice, although they left out the term extreme, but anytime they say with prejudice, it means extreme prejudice, which means it's beyond the pale, outside the scope and sphere of what normal prosecutions would be allowed to do. And they did this because they hid inculpatory or incriminating evidence for over 2 years while they kept these patriots, these lovers of America, this strong family spiritual unit, incarcerated. And that's also an abuse of the Speedy Trial Act, although they may have tricked some of them into waiving that or done other scurrilous tricks like having the attorneys waive it for them without their consent or acquiescence. But these things are so very important because when you take a person's life, you know, there's a case called Trezvant versus the city of Tampa Bay, Florida, where Mr. Trezvant was arrested, had the money on his person to bond himself out, but was not taken immediately before a magistrate to have his case properly adjudicated and be able to post bond and to free himself. And he was locked up for 23 minutes and rewarded, I think, in the courts after the fact for unlawful incarceration and denial of his due process of law, and compensated the amount of, I think it was $27,000 for 23 minutes. And when you do the math and count that out, that works out to about $1.5 million a day for unlawful incarceration, although I'm told that there may have been a further court review of that with political activist judiciary, playing their political antics and agendas of trying to ameliorate the liability for the counties for their unlawful takings of his freedom and liberties, and reduce that somewhat. But still, nevertheless, even in this first case they list, which is Monterey versus Del Monte Dunes at 526 U.S. 143, Lawyers Edition, LED, 2D882, 119, Supreme Court, 1999. In that case, it says the district court's jury instructions directed the jury that it should find for the landowner if the jury found that a landowner had been denied all economically viable use of its property, or B, if the city's decision did not substantially advance a legitimate public purpose. The jury awarded the landowner $8 million for the takings and $1.45 million for the city's unlawful acts and no just compensation or providing adequate post-deprivation remedy for the loss. the county is liable for any city employee violating the takings clause amendment by trespass.
Okay, we're going to a quick 3 minute break. We'll be right back.
Clear your throat. Fill your throat. Bless you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest for staff of the program is Chris from near Las Vegas, and I was I've talked to some other people recently who had family that was in the lumbering business, particularly in Washington, Oregon, Northern California. And what the loggers did was that they took care of the land that they were logging in. If there was any, they had a fire crew, they had fire crews so that they would take care of any potential fires that erupted in their area where they were logging. And the ranchers do the same thing. If they were given land, not given, but if they were allowed to graze their cattle on public land, then they were also taking care of the land, and they would protect that land from the same kind of situation, such as a fire. And then when you take logging out of the hands of the people that had been in that business for a long time, then you also took away the protection against fire in that area. And the same thing occurred in Colorado, where you had a lot of fire. So how can you relate that to the Bundys? Because I really didn't look into that situation. I didn't research it, but from what I did gather, it was a situation where they had been grazing their cattle on this land for decades, and then all of a sudden, the Bureau of Land Management came along and said, "Oh, you can't do that anymore." And a lot of times, it's because that land has resources that the government, the federal government, wants to hand over to some of their buddies. They want to privatize public land for the profitability that is associated with it. Your views on that?
Intriguing that you should bring this up and make that relationship, because it's actually playing out as we're speaking right now in the FISA court examinations, the Christopher Steele dossier, where he contrived this false narrative, this fictitious story to try to incriminate Trump and cover up the complicity for Hillary Clinton, or Hillary Clinton, as I prefer to call her, and some of her entourage, Bill, and of course the infamous tarmac meeting between Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton in the middle of the night, like two ships just coincidentally passing the night. Of course, they were ordered not to have any press there to document it, to keep the criminality of the conspiratory of covering up the crime and so on and so forth from the public to know. And we know that Harry Reid had a very substantial hand with his associate Neil Cornsey, who was appointed to the head of the BLM. And I think the guy's name was Wu, that was in charge of the Department of Interior. The BLM is beneath the Department of Interior. You mentioned the Rangers. There's a really entertaining but far too true representation of some of the atrocities perpetrated against landowners by the Park Service, which is akin,
right,
or similar to the Bureau of Land Management, called Big Park. And you can,
right,
search that out on YouTube. And it's only a few minutes long, and I think it will import a very similar situation to what the Bundys and the people up in Oregon, the Hammonds, who were under double jeopardy, were re-prosecuted because the first judge set them free. He could not bring himself to incarcerating the man for setting a backfire, which is a sustainable and a common form of taking a proactive act to protect life, limb, and property from the dangers of fire. And they had,
mm-hmm,
set one that could control and burn just a few acres of BLM land, you know, whenever you've got winds that are swirling around and moving fires. You don't always have full control, although the preservation of life and property is preeminent. to keep the animals and the people from being burned up and murdered or killed by the fires. And in some cases, the BLM set these fires themselves, or the rangers do, in order to supposedly to protect from future worse fires. And then they're so surprised when the winds come up and change direction, they get out of control and burn thousands of acres. And then, of course, they exonerate themselves from liability. But the Hammonds, for burning just a few acres, less than 100 as I recall, were retried and held accountable, and I think they're in prison to this day.
Although, oh, my gosh.
That the Bundy situation, they just had a case here in Las Vegas on the 8th on a couple of the other Bundys that are still in the system that weren't in the original group that was held whenever Gloria Navarro dismissed with prejudice for flagrant prosecutorial abuse of discretion the charges. And Clive and Bundy, the patriarch of the family, over 70 years old, walked out of 333 Las Vegas Boulevard a free man with a button on his chest that said "Free at last." And it was a great, I was actually there on that front door area, the patio outside the federal courthouse there, and got to witness that myself, along with many other American freedom, liberty-loving patriots that were there, and alternative news people that were in association, and to see the smiles on the faces of the children, to see Grandpa and Great-Grandpa holding multiple of those children, and them wanting to know if they were going to take him on a horsey ride and things of that nature, it was really emboldening. And it was a great day for freedom, liberty, and private land ownership and property rights and water rights here in America that day, because it rebuked the horrific actions, the targeting of individuals, the keeping a kill book, a kill list, having targets with their names and pictures of X's on the wall in Daniel P. Love's office. These takings under these agencies' actions, these agencies are under the Administrative Procedures Act, the so-called headless fourth branch of government, by Colonel Edwin Landell House, or Hauser, and his treatise or little booklet he wrote, Philip Drew, Administrator, and putting forth his imaginative novel ideas of ruling by agency action and the corporatocratic model, an oligarchy, basically a monopoly of corporations holding a power over America to rule by executive edict, because they are all under the executive powers of the POTUS as either the CFO, the CEO, the Chief Financial Officer, Chief Executive Officer, or the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces under the Emergency War Powers Act.
Right.
And these are very, very dangerous concepts, because agency actors, they don't operate under law. They're not bound by the chains of the Constitution. They have their own private foreign corporate policies, statutes, codes, and procedures they operate under, and therefore they are incompetent. They are without knowledge of law, and they frequently break the law and evade things and or avoid them, or cognitively of dissonant. They don't pay any attention to things like trespass acts, need for a warrant to search or seize, whether they have a lawful right to trespass on somebody's property, what a true exigent circumstance or emergency circumstance is that qualify coming onto someone's property without a warrant. These are things that they're never schooled in, and usually they operate under various guises of agency or county action. A lot of times the county administrators, the city council, the town council will appoint these agencies, and they operate under the law of agency, which states notice to agent is notice to principal is notice to agent. And so there's a case called Fessler versus Rollins, R-A-W-L-I-N-S, F-E-S-S-L-E-R, California case, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that tells you that the agent can't speak for the principal, and the principal can't speak for the agent, because they both have financial, fiduciary, and other self-interest, and protecting one another's is a mutual codependent relationship that prevents them from being neutral, unbiased, or fair in any adjudication of any matter whatsoever.
Right. It's all part of the corporatocracy.
Absolutely. Correct? A corporatocracy. That's exactly right. Ruled by corporate kleptocrats, government by criminals masquerading as corporations, because they have that air of immunity by the corporate shield of immunity to protect the people who actually operate the corporation. But that does not protect the agents or actors working for them. And when they show disfeasance or malfeasance, failure to be due diligent and to properly train and instruct, and you can prove a pattern, practice, and custom, that type of bad behavior, not properly teaching their clients or their employees, then they become culpable, liable, and suitable for their bad faith acts. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court says in these decisions and this treatise I sent you. Here's the second one on there. It's Burns versus Reed, R-E-E-D, 500 U.S. 478 to 486, 111 Supreme Court, 1934, 114 Lawyers Edition 2D, 547 of 1991. The law requires the official seeking immunity to bear the burden of demonstrating that the immunity attaches to the particular function. County or city employees could not bear the burden of demonstrating that sabotage, terrorism, extortion, theft under color of law, discrimination, racketeering, violation of due process and takings without compensation attaches to their particular function of upholding the Constitution and protecting the property rights of taxpaying citizens and property owners. Therefore, the county would not be immune either for conduct of criminals posing as city or county employees. I must give a caveat emptor, a warning to people, that this information was deemed to be so dangerous that I was locked up for 30 days in Lakes Crossing Center by the county commission.
You were?
And there, yes, ma'am, I was. I had to prove my competency. Of course, competency is a void for vagary word term that has no meaning. It's all subjective and interpreted from the eyes of the accuser or the abuser. And when I served the county and its agents, the district attorney's office, the police department, and the so-called professional public response office zoning agents with a notice of Title 42, 1983 Bivens action, and the very next day I had to appear in the court where it turns out, I know this will surprise you, the chief district attorney here in Las Vegas, or Clark County, Steve Wolfson, his wife, Jackie Wolfson Glass, was the chief Eighth Circuit District Specialty Competency Court judge who ran that. And
what a coincidence.
Oh, yeah, what a coincidence. And they brought in a hit woman who, Nancy Becker, who is a supposed retired pro-temper special woman judge brought back for my case, unleashed six of her goons that they pose as marshals in her court, her hitmen, to violently attack me without any physical provocation whatsoever because I had the audacity to cite law, facts, and evidence from the Supreme Court verbatim, word for word, discounting their so-called psychology, psychiatry, and mental health schemes, and right, trying to prove my competency, which, of course, like I say, is doctrine of void for vagues because it's not definable. And I cited Federal Rules of Evidence 702. That's the same area code here at Las Vegas, so it's easy to recall, which has to do with qualification of an expert witness in the federal courts for evidentiary purposes and requires for any evidence to be considered such, whether it's medical or science or whatever else, it must be observable, measurable, and repeatable to be considered as evidence. And none of the DSM-5, the Diagnostic Symptoms Manual for the so-called psychology psychiatry trade, has any relation to those concepts because it's all subjective interpretive,
right,
and that cannot, and it's influenced by the financial interest of the psychiatrist, the psychologist, or the mental care, because they all get compensations from the people who,
right,
place people there for evaluations. Therefore, they're not neutral, unbiased, but they have serious financial interest, sometimes trips and other perks or kickbacks and compensation schemes for taking care of these so-called mental incompetent people, like they've accused Trump of being, without any factual basis other than their own hypothecated legal theories that are not substantiated by any factual or evidence, but they serve the political interest, excuse me for the background. They serve the political interests and agendas of his adversaries who want to color him in the most advantageous, legally predatory light of their theories.
Right. Well, what you're saying, actually saying is that there's a great big difference between a fact and a truth, which sometimes people kind of interchange. A truth is something, if you believe it, then it's true, even if it isn't a fact. If you believe that a certain church is true, whether it be a cult religion or whatever, if you believe that it's true, then it's true, but that doesn't make it factual. So, but with the DSM, that's all. They say that those are truths, but as you said, they're subjective and certainly couldn't be held up on a scientific basis or a factual basis.
In fact, the case that it's predicated upon is GE Incorporated versus Merrill Dow Pharmaceutical Incorporated, and those three qualifiers, observability, measurability, and repeatability, are set forth as the Daubert, D-A-U-B-E-R-T, analysis. That's the three-pronged test we were talking about under Federal 702. It has a progeny case, an offspring, a baby that came from the first case called Kumho, K-U-M-H-O, Tire Company Incorporation versus Carmichael, where the Supreme Court said very clearly, not me, the Supreme Court said this, that psychology, psychiatry, and the so-called mental health sciences are mere pseudoscience, or as they colorfully termed, witch doctorage, and therefore could not rise to the evidentiary contributions for the expert witness classification to be considered as evidentiary in the federal courts. And this is, there's another treatise on the internet that people can search out and read for themselves. It's called Psychopolitical Warfare by Kenneth Goff, D-O-F. I hear the music.
All right. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. My Skype still isn't working. I'm doing this by phone. But I found
what a coincidence.
Oh, we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
All righty, we are back. And our guest, the first part of the program today, is Chris from Las Vegas. And so it's just all very interesting, all of this, all of these things that have gone on. They've been incremental since after the so-called Civil War, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse incrementally. But that's when corporatocracy really took off, is during the so-called Civil War, what I call the Marxist Revolution, the first successful Marxist Revolution.
Can't argue with it. It might even be the first Bolshevik Revolution.
Well, that yes. When I mean Marxist is they were not successful in Europe. So in 1848, so a lot of the Marxists came over here and fought in the so-called Civil War on the North and established here in this country what they failed to do in Europe.
Well, they're pretty persistent, this group of people who want to be the rulers of the world. they don't quit. They just reform and readdress and attack from a different position.
Certainly.
As I was telling you, this is really, really very dangerous information. And, you know, I've obviously been a targeted individual and been attacked by about every weapon they have here for including this type of interest. They've tried to bury it, this political activist, Saul Alinskyite, Ninth Circuit Court here, has aided and abetted in covering up the criminality here in Las Vegas. And I would argue also in Malheur and up at the Bundy Ranch. And I mean, we've had the Western lands have been under attack by agents of government trying to seize it and convert it to their own private purposes for many, many years. We can go back to Bruce Babbitt, who was the Secretary of they converted most of the national parks under what was called the Nature Conservancy Act, which basically they claimed all their interest of significant portions of public land, so-called, to foreign interest, and lined their own pockets, although they kept a cursory aspect of lands for use under a limited and very defined segment of usage. To basically insulate themselves and give themselves a carve-out and considerable tax write-offs, theft by deception, using the donation of lands to line their own pockets and to exonerate themselves from tax implications for huge amounts of money, which basically was stealing from the American people, the so-called taxpayers, and everybody else in this country, and lining their own self-interested pockets.
And if you look at the people on the board of directors of the Nature Conservancy, it will not surprise you if you're well aware of things that are going on. It's a very corrupt entity, and people should not give money to the Nature Conservancy. They say all kinds of good things, but it's just not the case. They are a front group for evil doings.
Well, those lands of the Bundys up there, you alluded to it a little earlier, when we look into what's going on today with this FISA court situation and Hillary and Obama and Harry Reid and some of these other bad actors, they had sold over 20% of America's uranium stockpiles, which is military-grade uranium, to the Russians.
Right.
On self-interest.
Right.
The lands there were supposedly set forth for a solar project to be built by the Chinese, which was really a cover story. They built that off-ramp exchange, that interstate off-ramp there where the Bundy Ranch is, many, many years ago. So this has been a long-term plan that's been in effect. I don't think it goes back any farther than Harry Reid's been in office. Obviously, very strong influence there. But they had precise military interest of placing the communist Chinese within that area of Nevada up against the mountain, so they had a fairly physical obstruction from anybody coming from behind, but they had good access north and south and east and west from that location in a very tactically advantageous location. And so these are very, very dangerous times in America. Use it again.
Oh, my goodness. We're at the top of the hour. Time goes by fast when you're having a good time. Okay, we will be right back in 3 minutes.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.